What's up, donkeys? Happy Friday, Chuckies, coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 in the DMV. In Richmond, check us out on 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM. And we're streaming live on the Odyssey app. You can also watch us on the Monumental Sports Network, brought to you by Crop Metcalf, official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. Looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber, just visit cropmetcalf.com and you can join their team today. We thank you for tuning in this Friday morning, April 26th, 2024. I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Eric Bickle.
Morning.
Morning. Johnny Cake Sawville.
Hello.
And Jason Bishop.
Good morning, boys.
Good morning. A lot to get into.
My volume is not working very well.
On the program today.
Tweak that.
Round one of the NFL draft is in the books, and the Commanders have themselves a game changer.
They got him. Got your guy.
Dan Quinn tipped his hand to us in February, said Jaden Daniels was a game changer, and it kind of jumped out at us at the time. Mm-hmm. And they indeed draft him yesterday. So now, what's next? We'll talk about that throughout the show. Also, on the program today, we'll get some insight from John Keim from ESPN.com. He'll jump on at 7:20. John Feinstein at 8. Ross Tucker, who covers the NFL, at 8:20. But Jaden Daniels is the guy. It kind of went as expected the last couple weeks. A lot of speculation. But I know myself, I said, I think it's going to be Jaden Daniels, because once Adam Schefter and Albert Breer and all the insiders pretty much came to a consensus that it was going to be him, even though we didn't hear from Adam Peters beforehand, and we're going to play some of Adam Peters' clips here momentarily. Mm-hmm. It seemed like Jaden was going to be the guy, and indeed it was the guy.
They went through their process. It sounds like he was the leader in the clubhouse for a pretty long time, and they didn't get moved off it. They weren't swayed, and he becomes the pick. And hopefully he continues to develop. He doesn't get crunched in his first month in the NFL with his slight frame. He builds out that frame as he gets a little bit older, and that he's the franchise signal caller they've been desperate for and plays here for a dozen or more years.
I thought it was going to be May. I put the $70 on him. That was a loser.
I put a few bucks on May just as kind of like a zig while everybody's zagged.
I told Eric I didn't have any inside info. It was just my gut. I was wrong.
Yeah.
But I hope that Daniels works out. You know, I hope that the system's perfect for him. I hope they coach him up. Hope they surround him with some, certainly on the offensive line, some help there. And then, you know, he's got talent to work with at receiver and running back now. So I just hope it works out.
I think it was just a situation where there's just too much talent there to potentially work with. It's just oozing talent. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he's not got the best frame. I don't think he's got the biggest arm. But I was really struck by what Peter said afterwards, and I know we'll play some of this, but to the sense of, you know, I knew it was,
and you don't need the biggest arm to be good.
You don't. Yeah. You don't. I think the most important thing is processing.
Yeah, you just need, a little package.
They said they saw it, but the big thing that jumped out at me, we'll go through it later, is he knew it was good, but he hadn't really watched him because he was in San Francisco. He wasn't really looking at quarterbacks, and then he put on the tape, but he couldn't believe it.
Right.
That really jumped out.
Yeah, he's a great processor, and if the processing breaks down, he's got the legs to scoot, which is, you know, it's becoming more and more common in the NFL. Like, the drop back statue type quarterbacks, there aren't that many of them left. There aren't that many of those guys getting drafted high in the NFL.
I don't think any of those were who he was going against. I think those all guys are athletic and move around a little bit. You know what I mean? McCarthy can move, who apparently was high up there. Drake can obviously move.
Yeah, but not on his, like, he's
not on
got,
his level.
He's got, like, Lamar Jackson-esque, maybe Michael Vick-esque type rushing ability.
Next level. Yeah. But those other guys can move, too. I mean, gone are the days of the Peyton Mannings. Mm-hmm. You're just not in Tom Brady's. I think you'd
seems
be hard-pressed.
Like seems like it. I'm sure there'll be some down the road. But Jaden Daniels, one of the things that jumps out at me, I wouldn't have made that pick. I would have gone with Drake May. But if you just look at the raw numbers of touchdowns to interceptions, he takes care of the ball. And he's going to give you the running element, which Cakes talked about. The scary part for him is, will he be able to survive in the NFL? But I was thinking about this last night. Anthony Richardson is a monster, huge, and he didn't survive the season. So some of it is a little fluky.
For sure.
Guys get hurt. Some guys tend to be more durable. He's going to have to learn how to run out of bounds and not take those hits because, you know, a lot of people put highlights on social media. He does take cartoon-level type hits. Yeah. Like, he runs kind of upright. Mm-hmm. That was one thing which jumped out at me. And then he takes these spectacular hits. But he survived an SEC season and won the Heisman Trophy.
Well, he's also, as soon as he gets here, the strength and conditioning coach is going to get his hands on him and, you know, hopefully add some
weight,
some mass, and some more muscle onto that frame.
Well, think about it. I talked about this yesterday on a couple of the podcasts I jumped on or whatever. You know, he started every game in high school. Brian Kelly said yesterday when he came to LSU just 2 years ago, he was 170 pounds.
Right.
He was like 100 pounds in high school. Yeah. I think Grant actually told me he was 130 pounds as a freshman. So that tells you how big a freak he was.
Because
he played for a powerhouse.
Yeah.
And he started as a freshman at 130 pounds.
Right. Yeah.
He's just a gifted kid. And I the more I see of his maturity level, the more I really like. I mean, he's just calm. He's not making outrageous claims. He's not, you know, painting his fingernails and wearing goofy socks. He's just being normal. Like, all these guys, I mean, they can do whatever you want. It's a big night for them, and I don't begrudge them. Some of these guys are wearing suits that they're going to look back on them in a few years, and they're going to regret it.
Now, you didn't like what he did during the Heisman presentation, though.
I didn't. It was Valdez's thing, where he said he opened up the jacket, and he had, I think maybe he learned a little bit. I thought he was very humble. He didn't make it all about him at all. He kept talking about his teammates, future team. I don't know. Everything he said was great. I couldn't pick apart any of it.
I think most of the guys last night were
great.
Were humble and appreciative of being drafted. Mm-hmm. A lot of guys were at their homes.
Yeah.
I didn't seem like as many of the top guys were in Detroit as I would have expected.
Yeah. I didn't know how many guys were going to be there.
JJ McCarthy was at home. Knicks was at home.
Yep.
You should be at home, but you don't know if you could go anywhere first or second round.
That's true. If you think you might plummet down the draft board, I'd stay home.
Great time to, man, if you ever had any doubt, man, raise a quarterback.
Raise an offensive player also.
Six quarterbacks in the top 12.
And,
wow.
And I think we're at the first 14 picks, all offensive players.
Yep.
Like, it just shows you where the league is heading.
But you know, most of the mock drafts had Jaden Daniels going number two, as I said. Yep. Schefter started saying, get your jersey. Breer was all on it. It seemed like they were honing in on Jaden Daniels, and that's the case. Here's Adam Peters. Let's play clip number one, explaining why Jaden Daniels, in the end, was their guy.
Why Jaden? Why not Jaden? Jaden, he's to us, he was special in every way. On the field, off the field, I talked to him a couple times and I told him kind of what I told you guys the other day. Didn't really watch a lot of the quarterbacks hard during the season, being with the 49ers. And then I turned on Jaden for the first time here, and I couldn't believe it. I honestly couldn't believe how good he was. And saw him on TV, saw him on highlights and everything. But when you really study him as a quarterback, just as a quarterback, he's really, really good. And just the way he could process, the way he could see the field, go through reads, deliver on time, deliver with pressure in his face, take a hit and deliver a third down pass and move the chains. He's the best deep ball thrower we thought in the draft. And that's even before you start watching him run. And the way he runs, he just kind of, we talk about it, kind of takes your soul as a defense. You know, you think you got him, and then all of a sudden he rips off a 40-yard run. And this is against the SEC. This isn't against, some lower competition. This is against the best of the best. So for all those reasons on the field and off the field, I can't say enough about him. And we did a lot of work on all these guys. We did a lot of work on Jaden. And in terms of every single person we spoke to, it was just exemplary as a person, personal character, football character, his work ethic, his football intelligence, how much he cared, his leadership, how he is as a teammate. They were all exemplary. And we went back to high school. We went back to Arizona State and Herm Edwards, his personal quarterback coaches, LSU and all the staffers at LSU, Brian Kelly there, every single person you would talk to, it was the same answer.
Yeah, I don't know. I was really struck by his maturity. And even they were even trying to get him at later to, you know, to talk about, you know, what he's going to do. And he's like, man, I just got drafted. I'm just trying to enjoy this moment. And when I get there, I get there. Yeah.
Says he wants to go to work. People say he's a hard worker, which is great. He may not have a good golf swing, EB, but that doesn't matter.
Well, I doubt,
as long as he can throw the ball
sure
well.
I'm sure he'll get a good one if he gets a few lessons.
Here's Adam Peters saying when they settle on the pick. Remember, we were kind of debating this. I was theorizing a while back that they knew who they were going to take several weeks ago. A lot of the things that they do afterwards, maybe it can move opinions, but for the most part, they're just dotting the I's, crossing the T's. Even when they're going to pro days, I think the decision's already made. And then when they bring them in for interviews, the decision's already made. You know, yes, they could possibly change it, but it's very unlikely. Here's what Adam Peters said about their timeline.
Yeah, I think you guys kind of getting to know how we do things, and going through the whole process, I think, is important. And I think I said this last week too. You know, you don't want to make a decision until you have to, but you know, because you never know what's going to happen. But that being said, we knew it was Jaden for a while, and it would have taken a lot for it to not be Jaden, personally, you know, or just in reality. I mean, and it was the building. The whole building was, you know, I would say unanimous on that one, and it's easy to see why.
That really struck me.
Yeah.
That really struck me.
Who knows
me.
What a while means, but that did surprise
well,
me.
Well, no. What struck me is he said he was unanimous in the building.
Yeah, yeah.
Consensus.
That really is
there
surprising.
Were no dissenters.
But didn't we feel it from Dan Quinn on this show? I know at least EB and I did.
I did right away, and then I tried to talk myself out. I go, maybe he's doing subterfuge. You know, I've gone the whole gamut of everything.
Yeah,
on it.
But if you just go back to your blink, and my blink was when he said game changer, it sounded different than when he talked about Caleb Williams and when he talked about Drake May and when he even mentioned Sam Howell. It was just two words. What a big deal. And everything else fits the narrative, right? You know, we would try and talk ourselves out of it, but Marcus Mariota, that type of backup, is closer to Jaden Daniels than some of the other guys they could have signed.
Maybe. I don't know if I'm buying that.
But also, who knows?
I know he played for Brian Johnson.
Right, but who knows if Adam Peters is being truthful when he says it's unanimous. I mean, there could have been some guys in there who really liked May or somebody else. What else is he going to say after they make the pick? You know, you got to be supportive of the guy who make the pick.
Maybe. But
he sounded truthful to me.
It sounded genuine to me. I did hear that they liked McCarthy a lot. That's what they said.
Yeah, I saw that too.
So, I mean,
it
who
sounded
knows?
Like May was the odd man out. Like, it came down to Daniels and then McCarthy.
I mean, Chase's point, you're never going to know. Yep. But it just struck me.
But
I haven't heard a guy before say, yeah, it was unanimous.
Can we jump to clip number 5? Because I do think it's going to be natural for a lot of fans to compare him to RG3. So what was the problem with RG3? I think ultimately he would have been exposed for not being a great processor and passer. That's why I called him RG Screen back in the day. But really what changed everything was taking hits. He got hurt.
Well,
that's what people are scared of with Jaden Daniels.
He ran an unsustainable offense.
Yeah.
And then they go hand in hand, like, but he couldn't keep running that offense.
Right.
Like, it was going to take its toll.
He wasn't good enough overall. Yeah. He wasn't good enough.
Yeah.
Here's what Adam Peters says about Jaden Daniels taking hits.
That's not number 5. That's 9, I think. Right.
Or number 12. Sorry. I just counted them.
Yeah, we'll get it. We'll figure it
out. Yeah, I think with any quarterback, not just Jaden, you want to tell him to get down, you know, not take the hit, which is if that's your biggest problem with somebody, then it's pretty good deal there. And so, you know, we'll encourage him to not take those hits, but he's so competitive. He's so tough. He got up every time. So, you know, no questions about his toughness or his durability. Just, I think, you know, wanting him to play 17 to 20 plus games every year. Want to make sure he takes care of his body, and we know he will.
I like his confidence in 17 to 20+ games per year. Mm-hmm. He's throwing that playoff slash Super Bowl run in there. I do like that swagger, that bravado.
Well, yeah. I know that I really try not to get too crazy about it, trying to, you know, this whole pick, but being a fan, once they actually make the pick and you try to get it behind it, I'm ready for the jersey. I'm ready to be excited again. Robert didn't work long term, but man, 2012 was special. And I think he's a more complete player than Robert. I don't think it's particularly close. So I expect, you know, him to have success for several years. So I'm ready for the jersey.
I'm gotta ready figure for, out what jersey he's going to wear.
I'm ready for the excitement.
What number?
I mean,
Tressway wears number five.
Tressway might just say,
here. Smart. He'll sell it to him. He'll get something out of
you
it.
You just hope they got it right.
Yes.
You know, the red flags that Zachary Kruger, our friend, pointed out was the sack to pressure percentage. Mm-hmm. And then the percentage of go routes jumped out at me that they just didn't run a sophisticated offense at LSU. But I do know when we had Dan Quinn on the show, and Dan Quinn has kind of said this throughout, he's big on explosives. So maybe they're going to throw a lot of go routes.
Right.
Maybe that's what Kingsbury is going to do.
He's explosive with his legs and his arm.
Yeah,
that's the thing.
If your receivers can get behind the defense and he throws a good deep ball, you take advantage of it.
Yeah,
of course.
I know, but
you don't deal exclusively in the go route, but you have it in the mix.
His percentage of go route throwing at LSU was something like 17 or 18%.
Right.
Most of the other guys were in single digits, like low single digits.
Yeah, I know. For some reason, that didn't bother me at all. I don't know why.
But when you have guys who are picked 23 at wideout in the first round,
it's easier to throw deep balls when you've got guys like that.
Right. Yeah, it just made me, as a fan, maybe question, well, does he throw as many outs and, you know, all the things that you're going to need to do in a more sophisticated offense.
Yeah,
but
you're going to have to.
They obviously believe he's capable.
What they all say is he gets rid of the ball on time, and that they could see, even though they don't know exactly what play they were in, they could see him making his progressions. And I do think it's the most critical aspect of the job.
I told you, a lot of people said his training with virtual reality maybe helped him his last season in terms of development.
They say he also added another quarterback coach. So he's had one since he was like 10, but he added another one in the last year or so, which also kind of coincides with his leap.
I think that was John Beck.
Maybe that's what it was, yeah. And so, I don't know. We got somebody that's exciting. And I said it weeks ago, if they do end up drafting Daniels, we know we got somebody super exciting.
I know the vast majority. Vast majority of the fans love it. I put up a poll last night.
I'm sure
love it, like it, nervous, or hate it.
Right.
And love it was the big winner.
Yeah. I
60%.
I mean, listen, it was Lewis Riddick who predicted we'd go to the Super Bowl a couple years ago. So,
right.
I mean, we all have our misses.
Yeah.
But Riddick said he would have been his 1-1, too.
Right.
Yeah.
I loved that, seeing that.
All right. Phone number if you want to chime in, 800-636-1067. You can always call us on the MGM National Harbor listener lines. Same number for the Thompson Creek Windows text machine. Standard message and data charges may apply. And you can hit us up on X at Junks Radio. We do have a lot to get into. We will talk more about the NFL draft next and how it was kind of Cakes' dream first round. It was offense, offense, offense.
Let's go, baby.
And quarterback every other pick
for the first
for a while.
Half. Yeah.
So we'll get into that next here on the Junkies. Welcome back. Junkies coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980. We will talk to ESPN.com, Washington Commanders insider John Keim coming up at 7:20. Of course, the Commanders draft Jaden Daniels. He was the second quarterback selected, but six went in the top 12, five in the top 10, four in the top 8.
That's a record, right? It's got to be a record.
Yep. You knew that the conventional wisdom was that Drake May was going to go number 3. But after that, you didn't know what was going to happen, whether J.J. McCarthy would be the next quarterback drafted. I think most people thought J.J. was going to be drafted next. It instead was Michael Penix Jr.
Man,
the surprise was he goes to the team that just paid Kirk Cousins $40 million a year for 4 seasons.
Yeah.
I think 2 of the years is pretty guaranteed, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's definitely a shocker, but I don't completely hate it. Now, It's a rich price. You're picking in the top 10 for a quarterback.
You're going to pay a backup quarterback, what, $23 million?
Understood, but what if Kirk stumbles coming back from the injury? And yeah. what if your mindset is we're going to let this guy sit for a year, maybe 2 years, develop him, let him fully learn the system, grow here, and then when Kirk leaves?
Yeah, but you just said it doesn't make sense based on what you just said. You said, what if Kirk isn't ready? Then they would have to play Penix immediately.
Because you could play him, though, because he's experienced.
I know, but he just said he's got a plan of sitting him for a year or two.
It doesn't conflict. Well, I think that's the plan, is have him sit. But if he does get hurt, you've got a stud first rounder to replace him with.
It's a good plan B. But if Kirk is healthy and they're going to the playoffs every year and maybe winning divisions, why wouldn't you keep him for more than 2 years?
They might.
And are you going to just play Penix when he's 27?
Well, then it'll end up being a wasted pick. Yeah. But I think
it could be, but we don't know. Listen,
I'm going to say this, and I tweeted this last night. I don't think this is like a Kenny Pickett draft or, you know, I told you day one, way before, I didn't like trade Lance. Not that I know anything, but I actually would not bet against any of these guys in the first round.
Mm-hmm.
I know we're just assuming half are going to bust, but like JP said, it might be one of those years. I remember when we were coming up, it was like, the 83 draft or 84 draft class?
Joe Burrow draft was really good.
Yeah, I mean.
Herbert, Tua.
Yeah, but when we were growing up, it was Marino and Kelly and all those guys. Yeah. They were all stud. It just might be one of those because I wouldn't bet against any of them. Now, I think Penix, it'll be a while.
And I know the Falcons are getting goofed on. They're just getting dragged on social media. There's the video of Arthur Blank talking with their GM. I think it's Jerry Fontenot.
You know, Terry Fontenot.
Terry. There's no audio of it. People are like,
Does it look like they're beefing?
It just looks like Blank might be like, hey, what's going on with picking a quarterback?
He's like explaining to him.
Yeah.
So they just paid this guy $160 million, $90 million guaranteed.
They had to have discussed
I think Arthur Blank is not, he's scratching his head because he's like, I got to dole out a $20 million signing bonus to this guy that's not going to play.
Yeah.
If we're successful.
Financially, it doesn't make sense because you're not helping yourself for this year because in the first round, you want to get a starter.
Right.
Look, I think they clearly are copying what Green Bay did. Clearly.
Yes, that's exactly what they're doing.
Yeah.
And they're fortunate enough they can do that because you've got a legit veteran, really good quarterback
that he can sit behind. With the quarterback, which is something teams just aren't willing to do for the most part.
And they're subscribing to the theory that the most important position is quarterback, and the second most important position is your backup quarterback.
It seems that way. They're in on that. They're in on that bit.
All the pundits though were scratching their heads. Because apparently their defense stinks.
That's fine. They can scratch their heads all they want. But if Kirk plays well for two or three seasons and then Penix is plug and play, ready to go when Kirk retires, I don't hate that plan. I like a good succession plan.
Especially Kenneth's had a lot of injuries.
But not enough. That's pretty high. You're paying a guy who's not going to play $23 million.
It's not that much, though, per year relative to the cap.
It's a pretty big contract. I mean, you're paying a quarterback's, what, $63 million?
And it'll only go higher. I'm looking at the cap hit for Kirk Cousins.
Well, not per
on Spot Track. The cap hit this year for Kirk is $25 million. His second season with Atlanta is $40 million. His third season is $57.5
million. Mm-hmm.
Well, I understand that there's a possibility.
Yeah,
like,
my understanding is they could get out of it.
But in terms of the cap, though, all of Penix's money, the majority of Penix's money comes through the signing bonus. I think it's like his cap hit's only like a $3 million cap.
Spread it out over the life of his deal.
And then the signing bonus doesn't go against the cap.
Right. I actually think it, from a salary standpoint, with the way they have these kids locked in the first few years, it's not a big deal.
I do think that
it's just weird because it's good fits for the guys. It's strange because and within the top 10, you expect like an electric
starter,
10-year starter. At least that's what you're aiming for.
Yeah. Look, they're taking a chance. You scratch your head doing it. Some people like it. Some people don't.
Well, it's also horrible for Penix.
But yeah, because
he has no chance to play unless Kirk gets hurt.
Yeah, there's no pressure, though. I think he's in a great spot.
But he wants to play. You had the Raiders, you had the Broncos, you had the Vikings, and you had another team right there that were all looking at quarterbacks.
Mm-hmm.
And yet now he has to sit behind dumb Kirk Cousins until he's 30.
Yeah. I don't know.
The age keeps going up and up. Yeah.
It adds probably length to his career. because a lot of these guys, if they flame out after a year, I mean, you're never going to hear from, what is it? Is it Willis? What was the kid's name? In
Malik Willis.
You're never going to hear from Malik Willis again. You know, there's some guys, they go out, they flame out early, and they're done.
Well, again, it's just.
Trey Lance, done.
Trey Lance is done. Backup quarterback for the most part. But that's what Penix is going to be probably for 2 years, if not longer.
He's going to have hype, and he's going to get
Now, maybe you're right. Maybe, you know, Kirk does what he does. He has really good regular seasons, and then he flames out in the postseason, and they say, I'm not paying $58 million in year three. Let's see what Penix can do.
And he's actually ready to play.
But what if that's not the case?
Well, then it's a botched number 8 overall draft pick, or, if that's the case.
Or what if they, I mean, maybe they trade Kirk at some point for a third rounder or something just to get out of it and give Penix a shot.
But again, you know, we talked about it. These teams are just desperate for quarterbacks. Obviously, Minnesota really needed a quarterback. Denver, desperate for quarterback. They're going to take Bo Nix. A lot of people thought Nix was going to go in the second round. He goes 12.
Yeah.
Because, I don't know enough about
because
Bo
Nix. Because Sean Payton has to. You know, he has to have a guy.
And apparently, Bo Nix, I guess they had him in for a private workout the day after his pro day.
Yeah.
And they gave him, like, a bunch of offensive plays the night before. They said, come in and do it on the whiteboard. He crushed it. They said, well, might have something here.
Yeah, I'm sure he's
take
a smart
kid. Take it to the practice field, crushed it there, and that clinched it for him. They're like, we're going to take Bo Nix at 12.
Yeah, he completed 77% of his passes past season.
I just didn't watch a lot
his
of them.
His passing numbers were crazy.
I know he's been around forever.
His passing numbers were probably better than Daniels.
And I know that they say
also
he reminds him of Drew.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He also played a lot of college football. But who knows? Like you said before, maybe this is a year where the quarterbacks all work out, but based on history at least half of them won't.
But I think this could be an outlier year. I
believe Bo Nix is the same age as Zach Wilson, who they just acquired. And it seems like Zach Wilson's been in the NFL forever, and Bo Nix is the same age.
I don't have a problem with it. Your starting quarterback being 24, and then maybe he doesn't play until he's 26. Who cares?
26
is prime of your life. He's going to, you know, well, especially a kid that's had injuries.
We know Jaden Daniels won't be playing at 26.
I don't need my quarterback to be 21 years old.
Huh?
Like, a quarterback doesn't have to be 21 or 22.
Yeah.
I actually like a little bit of seasoning.
Yeah.
But like you said, the first 14 were all offense, and then you started – but 7 offensive tackles went.
That's why I think Washington didn't move up.
And Washington needs a tackle, but I don't know what the gap is between the 7th guy and the 8th guy.
Right.
I haven't seen, like, a best available list or you know, whatever. I don't know if there's a top tackle still left on the board. But
well, I know that Adam said there's a lot of great players still left, and they're going to get a bunch of good ones.
Well, of course.
They're excited. So,
according to ESPN, the top tackles still left are Blake Fisher out of Notre Dame, Roger Rosengarten from Washington, Kingsley Suamataya from BYU. Those are your top 3 tackles that are still out on the board. And the Commanders have the 4th pick in the second round. So,
yeah, it was
if
a
they
run
want
on
one
tackles.
Of guys, they'll be there.
Yep. Quarterbacks and wide receivers.
Yep. A lot of that.
Well, then corners late. Kind of late.
Very late.
Yeah.
My guy that I picked is still available.
DeGene's still available.
Still out there.
I think he's number 1 on Kuiper's board.
That could be that could be a pick for the Commanders if
could
he's
be.
There.
Yeah. The good news is they have openings everywhere. I mean, we need help everywhere.
Yeah.
So,
what were the Bills doing? They need a receiver.
And they're just giving
it. And they bypassed and gave it to the Chiefs.
The team that we can't beat, the team that we can't solve, we'll let you pick the speediest wideout in the draft for Mahomes to throw it to.
Well, they clearly think that there are other receivers in the second round they can get.
Did you see the video? I think Barstool put it out from 4 or 5 years ago. I didn't remember it. I guess it was during the awful 2020 draft when when the Vikings were laughing when who was it ahead of them picked Jalen Reagor? Was it
the Eagles?
The Eagles picked Jalen
Reagor.
Eagles
were 1 pick ahead,
and they were laughing because that gave them Justin Jefferson. Because
they couldn't wait to turn the card in for Justin
Jefferson. Justin Jefferson. They were laughing. Yeah.
The clip which makes me laugh the most, which they showed yesterday, was when the Vikings let the clock go and they didn't have the pick in.
Just so I mean, bad. How could you let that happen?
They missed a first round pick.
Didn't they do it in back to back years?
You know what? I'll be honest. That could happen.
I thought
to
they
me.
Did.
Back to back. In back to back drafts.
That could happen to me. Just
like,
how panic.
They bot- like, I don't understand how could they botch that.
Those guys are
so unprepared.
They're getting hammered in the war. Like
you couldn't be more unprepared.
That's the only way that you could. Explain it.
They're just completely unprepared.
Yeah, those guys going out instead of like scouting, they're just going out to lunch at noon and drinking 50 beers.
I mean, the quality wasn't good.
And then they're saying, we'll handle the draft when it comes.
If you saw the clip, I mean, I saw it yesterday. It's not an HD. It's an old clip. And it has the clock countdown like 3, 2, 1. And they just get the pick
this
in.
Is very persnickety. I despise when they flash the team logo and it says the pick is in. And then you don't hear the pick for another 4 minutes or
until
5 minutes.
Until Goodell walks up.
It's very annoying.
Yeah.
I noticed
that's a very small
because
nitpick.
They're trying to draw
it's
out.
It's a TV thing.
Peters even let the cat out of the bag. I only got 5 hours sleep. I can barely talk.
I heard Charlie Weiss talking about this yesterday. He said, sometimes when the clock's on your mm-hmm. the team, they're fielding calls.
Sure.
All right.
Of course.
Fielding calls.
That's expected.
But clearly the Bears knew that they were taking Caleb Williams for months.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't pick him until, 4 minutes left on the clock.
Peter said,
"Yeah,
they told us to take your time."
That's exactly what that's my point.
Yeah.
So, and Charlie Weiss was saying, look, they'd like to draw it out.
Right.
And they have their video packages
that's
prepared.
That's why they had, listen, no offense, I have two beautiful daughters. They're both athletes and everything. But they had girls flag football players up there, and they were congratulating them on their football careers. Mm-hmm. And then they had them making picks.
Yeah.
What are we doing?
They had
here?
The wackadoo band playing in between picks. Yeah. And then Roger Goodell would walk out. They'd have to stop in mid song.
Yeah,
there's a lot going
on. Now tonight, second and third rounds, you might do a little quicker. But for the first round, it's like they said, it's like the Super Bowl in April.
Yeah, the second round is like 5 minutes between picks.
Did you see what they announced the crowd at?
Like 300,000.
Massive.
I saw over 250. Did they
I
say
couldn't 300? Believe. I was just looking at that crowd and going, if you were smack dab in the middle of that human mm-hmm. mass,
yeah.
and you had to go to the bathroom,
pee your pants.
You can't go anywhere.
I mean, it's mm-hmm. going to take you 20 minutes
to get
work
out.
Your way out of the crowd.
Mm-hmm. I couldn't believe that.
Too.
I mean, there's so many people.
I mean, it's just a massive outpouring.
And I don't know if this irks you guys. It kind of irks me when after the first they show the war rooms mm-hmm. and after they make the pick, they're all high-fiving
yeah,
and
that's the bit.
Hugging each other.
Yeah,
I hate that.
No, what irked me was that we looked like we rented a table from the Holiday.
That was terrible.
I mean.
Did you need to work on the war room?
And Adam, listen. Peters is a great guy. He seems
that
great.
Looked like such a minor league war room.
It looked like the worst ever.
Are
and then
nuts.
You saw later, you saw Jerry Jones's. Jerry Jones looked like it was from Star Trek.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
You know what I mean? His was all blinged out, and we literally looked like we did something at the Super 8. I mean, it was embarrassing.
Yeah, it was
conference
bad.
Room at Red Roof Inn.
Hopefully, Josh Harris will take care of that in the future.
Well, Adam said they made it. They dressed it up, made it look awesome.
It wasn't awesome.
That building's like 50 years old.
And again,
you can only do so much.
Well, I tweeted that, and then of course
it's called renovations.
Of course, it means nothing. But then all of the Skins message boards people started attacking
all the insane HTTCers.
Like, guys, we're just having fun.
Right.
It's okay. We're just having fun. Obviously, it means nothing.
It's a very sensitive bunch.
They're so sensitive.
They're a big bunch of delicate hothouse flowers.
So sensitive.
They're very sensitive.
And then, of course, I didn't respond, but I'm like, guys, it means nothing. Relax.
It's okay.
We're having fun at their expense. It's okay.
It's okay.
Called have a sense of humor.
It's okay to goof on a team that hasn't been good for 30 years. It's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Par for the course.
And get used to it, because we're still going to keep doing it.
I mean, it is what it
and
is.
If they have a bunch of 12-win seasons, the goofing stops.
Yeah.
That's the way this thing works.
I'll still find a reason to goof on them.
800-636-1067 is the numbers. We're talking NFL draft. John Keim, ESPN.com, Washington Commanders Insider, joins us at 720. Welcome back. Chunky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 talking NFL draft. By the way, big hockey game tonight here in D.C.
Massive hockey game. I have my tickets. I've got my pass is good to go.
Parking?
Good to go.
Parking?
There was not a parking pass included, but I'm not an ingrate. I'm not going to text my guy JVS back and say, hey, where's my parking pass?
Oh, I would have.
But I have secured.
Did you get your top shelf
secured
request
parking.
Taken care of?
I have secured parking.
Okay.
I have Caesar's Lounge passes, which are amazing.
No, but your top shelf request.
The premium suite.
It was
apparently not denied. It was denied, but that's okay. I'm not an ingrate. I'm very grateful. I'm a grateful person. So thank you to JVS.
How do you feel?
Hold on. I just have to ask.
Sorry.
Yeah, yeah.
You have secure parking.
Yes.
But it's not underground.
It is at a lot across the street.
Okay. Gotcha.
Close to Capitol. Very close walking distance to Capitol One.
All right, you'll make it safely and everything.
It's 0.2 miles away.
All right. Well, maybe you run fast.
I think I'll be good.
If I go on Sunday, I take the Metro. Just not going to deal with that nonsense.
How are you feeling about tonight?
Not sure.
Yeah.
To be determined.
A little indifferent.
He can't be feeling that great.
Yeah, I mean, my confidence isn't super high.
I will say that I got a text from somebody who knows hockey very well.
Yeah.
You put two and two together. He said, I wish I had it.
His name has seven total letters in it.
Can I do his name sounds like this name? Or no, I'm not going to do that.
No, I don't think it could be one of a couple of different people. But he said,
I know who the text is from.
He said he hasn't been overwhelmed by the Rangers. And he lists a bunch of stuff.
Okay.
You know, a lot of stuff is just hockey geeky.
I do like
hockey geeky for me. But he said he feels pretty good about tonight. So we'll see.
This popped into my head for some reason. You said something yesterday. I had my physical, and I did not feel pretty good about this. I'm officially shrinking.
Oh, really? You're shorter than you thought.
My physical, it couldn't be faster.
Yeah.
I mean, all they really do is take your blood, does a couple little things.
Yeah.
But height and weight is the first thing. And take off your shoes, take off your shirt, do the height and weight. Yeah. She goes, oh, you were 5'9", now you're 5'8".
Oh, that's not good. That's a bad
shrinking.
Sign. Yeah, you're going backwards.
I mean, what do they say? What is that? Is just like deterioration of your bones
or something?
So
she then said that
the
doctor there, who she shares the office with, he's older, that he has actually lost 8 inches.
Oh, wow. Man.
Over the years. Now, he's probably 75, 80 years old. I've seen him.
Is he like hunched over? Is that why?
That's what I said. And she said, no, he has arthritis. And apparently, if arthritis, I don't know. I guess you could shrink. I'm shrinking.
Your bones deteriorate, I guess.
It's ridiculous. I was like, is that bad posture?
Yeah.
I told you.
She said it's probably arthritis.
I've lost an inch off my Jimmy. So
well, that's devastating.
Yeah.
I'd rather lose 8 inches off my height than an inch off my silly. I mean, I'd rather be a 5-footer.
All right, so when the draft was on yesterday, I was watching ESPN. I wasn't watching the NFL Network.
I flipped back and forth, but I watched mostly Network.
I'm too lazy to flip. I just stay. I stay with Kuiper.
You're such a Joel Klatt
guy. I stay with Kuiper, too.
I like Jeremiah.
I'm a Kuiper guy.
Jeremiah's really good.
I like him. He breaks it down.
I think those guys are actually all really good. I don't know. I got a soft spot for Mel.
I wasn't a Pat McAfee, Belichick guy.
No, although I would have liked to have heard some of Belichick's criticisms. What I read was that Bill was like, even with Caleb, he was very measured. He said good things, bad things. Mm-hmm. You know, he wasn't just jocking people. I'd like to hear eventually what he said about Jaden. And
I saw what he said about Jaden. I mean, it was kind of a mixed bag.
They basically ran
like one good play and one bad play of the guys.
Right. Mm-hmm. So anyway, people started blowing my thing up and said that, you've been vindicated or whatever. You know, Ian Rappaport, you just reported. And I thought, oh, that's cool. That's interesting. But then when I saw it, it literally was word for word what I said that Steven heard from his buddy. And I know everyone mocked me, and it's fine. I always believed it, especially when I found out who the original source was from.
Mm-hmm.
But what are you going to do? My whole thing was, my conclusion was, and this is less about me like patting myself on the back. I knew what I was telling you was right. It's just... But my conclusion was that, are they really going to go from a fifth-round grade, which is what, according to Ian Rappaport, they did have from Brandon Ayuk, you know, exactly the way I said it, to then take him two overall, and they did. So, you know, you guys said that it's very possible for him to do that, and you guys were right on that. So, yeah.
You know what I found interesting? I didn't know
they'd be able to do that.
No, but your
I heard
source
a Mel
was correct.
Kuiper interview.
Yeah, I mean,
your source is correct.
And I'm not positive, but Mel Kuiper might have said that Jaden Daniels' mom called him last year, too. And Jaden Daniels said it. Mel Kuiper said it wasn't unusual for parents of players and players themselves to reach out to him to find out where they would go in the draft.
Yeah.
So obviously, Jaden Daniels and his mom were trying to figure out where, if we came out last year, where would we be drafted? And they consulted somebody they knew.
Of course, I said for the time it made sense.
And it's
amazing. Pretty
interesting. Before we get to the commercial break, let's listen to the audio to kind of explain what you said a few weeks ago.
Rich, it has been quite a journey for Jaden Daniels and specifically Commanders GM Adam Peters. A year ago, through his friend Brandon Ayuk, Jaden Daniels wondered for Adam Peters, what is my stock? Should I go in the draft? Peters said to Ayuk, about a fifth rounder should probably go back. Jaden Daniels never forgot that. Before his visit to the Commanders, he was a little miffed that there were several other quarterbacks there with him. Then Dan Quinn and Peters picked him up. Then he met straight with the owner, and he was back in, very excited. potentially to be with the Commanders.
Yeah.
Yeah, so does that confirm that they picked him up?
I guess. Maybe that's confirmation.
You know, which
we were goofing on that report so
yeah.
hard. This is unsubstantiated.
Sure.
There's no video of it.
I guess
this guy's a hack.
But no, that literally is word for word what. And here's what the reason
why. They just brought in the other guys to play golf.
Right. Here's the reason why, and I don't think people understood this, why I knew it was true, is because my son and his buddy, they don't give a rat's ass about. Like football rumors,
right?
They're not those kind of kids. They just, you know, they play video games. They like to drink. They like to have fun. They stumbled upon a source who told them something, and they thought it would be something I would be interested in. So, listen, I understand it was a goofy source. That's why I prefaced the whole thing by saying it's a rumor. I can't confirm it, but I was pretty confident that was true. But
how did Adam Peters have a fifth round grade on Jaden Daniels when he just played audio last segment of him saying, I didn't know anything about Jaden Daniels.
I didn't really know much.
Yep. And I took a deep dive into him
What it tells you is that he just gave him a flippant. Yeah, he's probably
he
didn't take it seriously years ago. Like he saw.
He took a month to get back to IU.
And by the way, last year or 2 years ago, I mean, Daniels had 17 touchdowns and what, three picks? Or
yeah,
he didn't put up crazy numbers.
We said that at a time. I mean, everybody had that same grade on
right.
Him.
So he didn't. So he probably looked at it and went, oh, he probably looked at the numbers and went, yeah, it's probably fourth, fifth round.
By the way, reports are that.
And then clearly he got better.
Ayuk is on the block, too.
Yes. Well, that's because.
That is an interesting scenario.
What if he winds up here in Washington having Jaden Daniels throw him the ball?
He's really good.
I'm not saying it's going to happen, but.
They clearly don't want to pay. They don't want to pay. They already paid Debo.
Right.
And they're going to have to pay Purdy at some point.
Let me look and see how much salary cap room the Commanders have.
That's why they drafted a receiver.
But again, just getting back to the whole thing, I never cared really that Jaden was a little, took it personally, because I would probably take anything personally. I'd take any criticism personally, right? So I didn't care about that. And I believed that he had a fifth round, but it was hard for me to believe that Peters would have a fifth round grade and then take him two overall. But clearly, and I even came around to it the last few days, I think that the tantalizing talent is just too much to pass up.
Too
much.
They
you
felt
to swing
the same way.
And
you
got to swing.
He just got a lot better. Joe Burrow got a lot better his senior year.
Of course, guys get better.
Like if you looked
no
at
doubt.
Joe Burrow the year before he came out, I'm sure he wasn't the number one pick in the draft. And then, much like Jaden Daniels, had a bomb last season. And then becomes the number one pick.
When you win the Heisman, your draft stock's going to go up. I mean, it just is.
Although Heisman guys that don't have great track records historically
at quarterback, you're right.
Maybe changing a little bit of late, but we'll see. Right. I think it's a great pick, super exciting pick.
Let's open it up to callers. People seem to love the pick. Your reaction, Jaden Daniels is the Commanders quarterback. Do you love the pick? Like it? Does it make you nervous? Are you scared? 800-636-1067. We'll take your calls next on the MGM National Harbor Listener Lines here on The Fan.